Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 4, and we've been looking at verse number 1, which says, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." And as we've been studying here, we've been looking at this issue of the walk that the Apostle Paul is making a reference to here, and how he is speaking to these saints about the issue of their performance, what it is that they're doing. We've looked at how the things in the dispensation of the grace of God talk about how there is a liberty that we're not under the law. We're not have a requirement of that we have to do certain things in order to either earn or maintain our salvation. We've talked about how our salvation is really just dependent on the fact that we put our trust in the gospel message, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. A person putting their trust in that and that alone is what gives someone salvation today. Now, as Paul mentions this and talks in his epistles in Romans through Philemon, we see that he'll give doctrinal information, and then as he gives the doctrinal information, he'll talk about some of the things of the practical things of how it is that we are to live our life based on the fact that we have this doctrinal information that has been revealed to us. Now, where we left off is looking at some of those issues and how people will talk about things in a way that does not line up with what Paul says. If we go over to the book of Galatians in chapter number 5, and we're going to see here a verse that really individuals don't take the words as they're actually laid out. And here in Galatians chapter 5, we're going to start here verse number 16, and we're going to read down through verse number 23. Verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Now, when we read these verses, and you know, when you start in verse number 16, you see how there's a statement that Paul's making here about walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, when individuals really look at this, they almost look at it from a side of where Paul's saying something that he's not, and they'll change the wording not as they're reading it, but really as they're teaching it, to say, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not walk in the flesh. And they'll look at it from the aspect of that there is a way that a believer today can be walking in the flesh Yeah, almost as if their identity could still be there. Now, when Paul is saying walk in the Spirit, you know, he's talking about the performance based on the identity that we have. And if we're doing this, then we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And a person can only be walking in the Spirit based on the fact that they have salvation, that they've been identified in this manner based on their belief in the gospel. So if a person is functioning according to the way that they have been identified, they will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, and Paul lists out, here are those things that are identified as being the works of the flesh. And then he says, here's what the fruit of the Spirit. And that's one singular fruit. So if a person is walking in the Spirit, all of these things that he lists out in verses 22 and 23 would be manifest in the life of the believer. It, you know, and we read through those things, and some of them are things that people really don't want to have because they don't, you know, they want to kind of leave off that idea of the long suffering and say, well, that's not something that I really want to have. And so the thing is that it's the fruits and then be able to pick and choose. It's one fruit that has all of these things as part of this fruit. And this is what God is expecting for us to be having manifest in our life. This is what if we are walking in the manner that Paul lays out, the manner that God expects for us to walk, these are the things that would be there. And this is after Paul has already talked about the idea of an individual standing in the liberty. You know, and we looked at some of those other things last week about how there's things of that all things are lawful for us, but all things are not expedient, all things edify not, that even though we can do all of these things, that not everything is going to be edifying to ourselves or other individuals. So we, as we take the doctrine in, have to come to an understanding of knowing what is edifying and what is not, and that we do the things that edify individuals. And if there's things that don't, then it's our responsibility to be trying to avoid those things. Now, none of it has anything to do with us losing our salvation. And that's why you see that Paul will make a statement if we go over to Romans chapter number 8. Because this is where, when we again are talking about this idea of that someone could say that we could walk in the flesh, we see how Paul says this here in Romans chapter 8 to show that it is impossible for a believer to be walking in the flesh. And here in Romans chapter 8, we're going to start here at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we see how Paul is saying here, multiple times about the issue of someone walking not after the flesh. And you see how the things of, you know, especially in verse number 1, is that if it was possible for someone to walk after the flesh, the only thing that could result from that would be condemnation. All members of the body of Christ are separated from the idea of condemnation because of who we are identified in. It is impossible for us to have any sort of condemnation put on us. That's why we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise to keep us as a member of the body of Christ, to keep us as who we are identified in, and keep us in a position to where we cannot be identified in that manner. Because you see how in this same chapter, if we skip down, and now let's read, start here, verse number 8, says, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Now, when we read these passages, we see how Paul makes it clear those that are in the flesh cannot please God. So when somebody starts talking about how you can be in the Spirit at times and be in the flesh at times, that you see how it would be a thing of that, well, there's times I'm pleasing, there's times I'm not pleasing. Well, see, that's showing here. But then you see how it says verse 9, which goes right along with this, when it says, "Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." So, if you were in the flesh, if you were walking in the flesh, identified in that way in any manner, Paul makes it very clear that the Spirit of God would not be in you. Which means that you're either not saved, or you've somehow lost your salvation, and that would be breaking that seal that we see Ephesians chapter 1 verses 13 and 14 clearly identifying that we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You know, the only thing that we can do is what we read back there in Galatians chapter number 5 about the issue of that we could fulfill the lust of the flesh. The reality is we still walk around in these fleshly bodies. We still walk around in something that can do things that are contrary to the doctrine. And what happens for an individual is that they, rather than relying on the doctrine that has been given to us in Paul's epistles, that individuals start looking at other things to build up what they feel they should be doing. And the end result of that is that they start doing the things that are not pleasing unto God. And sometimes it can be things that people say, well, it looks like they're doing the right thing. It looks like they're doing something good. You know, just because somebody is doing a quote-unquote good thing doesn't mean that they're doing the things that are automatically pleasing unto God. Because a person can do things that, you know, are quote-unquote good, but the motivation for why they're doing those things is what is really the issue. So when we see things, for example, we can go into the book of Ephesians. Here, we'll go to Ephesians chapter number 4, where Paul lays out a number of things of how it is that somebody is supposed to be living their life according to the doctrine. And that's how you see the book of Ephesians laid out, to where Paul gives the first three chapters are laying out doctrinal information for them. You see the beginning of chapter 4 starts transitioning into the issues of, you know, the practicality of, now that you understand these things, here's how the doctrine is going to be working out of you. And so we pick up here in chapter 4 in verse 22, when he says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we're seeing how he's talking about the practical aspects of these things, of, you know, to put off certain things that he's calling the old man, and saying that you put on the things of the new man being related to the doctrine that has been laid out. Things, the old man is things related to the nature of the flesh. So don't give into those things. You're to be allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to live in us and through us. That's what's going to result in what he's saying here of put on the new man. It's Christ living through us. Then he's going to say here are some practical ways that this is going to be manifest in us. Verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, all of these things that he's saying to, you know, to don't do this and to do this, you know, people say, well, you know, that's just doing good things. Well, again, when we look at it, what is the motivation? Are we doing the things of the, what's the good things because we have the doctrine laid out for us in these verses? Or are we doing it because, well, you know, as I was growing up, I was told not to do these things. Or all of a sudden I'm pulling a verse out of the law system to say, well, I shouldn't do this. Like, for example, when it says, let him that stole steal no more. And go, well, you know, that's, you know, in the Ten Commandments it said, thou shalt not steal. So I'm not stealing because it said that there. Well, if it's somebody just taught me not to do this, if it's I'm pulling something out of doctrine that's not directly to me, none of that, even though it's the right thing, none of it is pleasing unto God, because it's not Christ then living through us. It's the fact that I'm trying to use the things of me at that point. And that's why we have the issue of who we are that really is to have that influence on things, and who we are in Christ that's going to show that This is how we can please God. And let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 as we look here at some of the things about the issue of pleasing God with this. And we're going to start here in chapter 5 in verse 16, and we're going to read down through the end of the chapter. Verse 16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh? Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, as we see Paul describing this, he's talking about how anyone who is, and he says, if any man be in Christ, and he's again talking about this issue of the individuals who've put their trust in the gospel message, that all of these individuals are identified in this manner, that we're seen as being a new creature, that old things are passed away, all things are become new, and we are to be functioning in this manner of where we have the ministry of reconciliation, we have the word of reconciliation, we are seen as being ambassadors for Christ. Now, when we look at that word ambassador, that's the issue of us being his representative here on earth. You know, and we can you look at the things of how, you know, world governments have the thing of where they have an ambassador to another country, which is, you know, somebody who is the representative of, you know, that government. And so, you know, the U.S. ambassador to Japan is, you know, the representative of the United States in Japan. So as they're dealing with the Japanese government, the things that they're saying are reflective of what the United States government would actually be saying. So it's not them saying it, it's, okay, here are the things of the United States government. That is the thing of how we are to be, is that as we are living our life, the things that we are doing, it's not supposed to be us. It's supposed to be as people are looking at us as we're living our life, that they're seeing Christ in us. They're seeing the doctrine reflected in what we're doing. And if that's what's going on, and it's Christ living in us and through us, that is what's going to be pleasing unto God, because it's the doctrine going out and hopefully other individuals actually having it have an influence on them based on that fact. Now, next time we'll continue looking at some of these aspects of the pleasing unto God. Now, as we close out here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some audio files of some past Sunday messages. We have information about how to watch our Sunday service live as they're broadcast on Facebook. Information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option. For those who may have had their number written down, there is a new number, and that is posted on our website. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything on our broadcast, anything on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.